She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome here to this episode of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with
Liam Davis.
Liam, we got a lot to recap from last week, especially with baseball and softball. We're going to start with baseball, work our way to softball, then work our way to track and field and some of the other spring sports here at Pendleton Heights.
Yeah, Pendleton started off the week on Tuesday with Shelbyville at home. We actually had a walk-off. Jackson Grile sacrifice fly that led to a throwing error, and Mason Sexton scored off of that.
Well, and Brant Gray.
Scored on the sack. Mason Sexton scored on the throwing error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walk-off, comeback victory, down 3-0 the entire game, tie it up in the sixth inning. Go back down 4-3 in the top of the seventh, bottom of the seventh. We win it 5-4. I put on here for our highlighted players, Jordan Williamson, because he got started with a triple that got Jackson in. It was his one RBI. Mm-hmm. And then pitching-wise, I put Colton Frank, 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, they were at Shelbyville, won that one 6-4. Go to 9-0 on the season after that one. Jackson Grile was the only highlight that I have from that game, because everyone kind of hit the same outside of Jackson.
And Jacob Garner threw 6 innings.
Yeah. But Jackson went 1-for-3, 3 RBIs, a double, and 1 run scored. Mm-hmm. So he had a pretty, he's been pretty consistent with, like, you know, getting in RBIs. I think he leads the team with like 18 or 19 RBIs.
I think
RBIs.
It's 18 because I just updated the stats.
Yeah, so he's up there in RBIs. And then finally, they closed out the week last Friday with Lawrence North. Bit of a back and forth on whether it would get played or not with the weather. Mm-hmm. We had a pop-up shower in the middle of the game.
Yeah, and a little bit of a delay there.
Yeah,
but that didn't stop the Arabians from dominating.
Yeah, 11-1 victory.
Braden Stevenson was on the mound, 12 strikeouts in 6 innings.
Mm-hmm. A 10-0 record for the baseball team this year. My highlights were Mason Saxon, 2-for-4, 2 RBIs, 1 double, 1 run scored. And then Ty Frakes went 2-for-5 with 1 RBI, 1 double, and 2 runs scored.
Mm-hmm. It was a great week for the Arabians baseball team.
Yeah, and then for softball, started off the week strong, 11-0, or 11-0 over Anderson. Aubrey Fox, 2-for-2, 2 RBIs, a double, and 3 runs scored. And then Cassie Hayes, 2-for-3, 1 RBI, and 3 runs scored as well.
You know, that was a great bounce-back win, especially from the start of the season that they had with all the tough teams and not very much wins. That was a great win for them.
Yeah, and then against Delta, the next, I forgot to put the dates on here, but, you know, against Delta, they went over to play Delta for a conference game, won that one 10-4, so back-to-back wins to start off the week for the softball team, started off really strong. Kaylee Smith, 3-for-4 and an RBI, and then Aubrey Fox, for the second time in a row, went 3-for-5, 3 RBIs, 1 double, and 1 run scored. So Aubrey Fox, so far to this point in the week, that we're recapping, had a pretty good week.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great week for the softball team also.
And their next game, they fell to Carmel, 8-7 at home. Aubrey Fox again, 3-for-4 and a double. Kaylee Smith went 2-for-4, 3 RBIs and a home run. Mm-hmm. I believe the first or the second home run on the season for the softball team this year.
I think it was the second. I think Ari Rector at the first.
Yeah, Aubrey Fox, though, she's been pretty good all season. Mm-hmm. With this. Well, last week popped up quite a few times, and so did Kaylee Smith. The next game, Pendleton played Penn, lost that one 3-0. I looked back at the stats, and there really wasn't any standouts. Pendletonites, almost every hitter went 0-for-2, 0-for-3. Pendletonites just kind of struggled against Penn.
Yeah, but Penn is a great team. You know, every single team that they have is It's really outstanding.
Yeah, and then again, that same day they played Penn, that was the 26th. They played Brownsburg, lost that one 7-3. The only highlight I have for that is Kaylee Smith went 2-for-4 with one RBI.
No, Brownsburg is another really good team. But they put runs up on the board that game, and, I mean, it was better than the first game that they had.
Yeah, and then for track and field, they had a couple of things go on this past week. They had their Pike Invitational and their New Pal Dual Meet, starting with the New Pal Dual Meet because it happened earlier in the week on the 24th. Keaton Jones, the first-year track runner, placed second with a personal record of in the 100-meter of a 10.99.
Got that sub-11, but there's a runner down in Texas that just broke the record not too long ago with like a 9.82.
Yeah, he's pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then we didn't bring all of our, you know, normal runners. So for the 1600 meter, it was Sadie Rao placed first with a 5:59.19.
I mean, she can run for years, it seems like.
Yeah, and then in shot put on the girl side, Shaylin Dwyer placed first, the junior. Pretty good outing, 29 feet and 2.5 inches. So she had a pretty good dual meet for her. And then for the Pike Invitational, Keaton Jones, 100 meter, placed fifth with 11:02. Ryder Englehart placed third in the 800 meter with a 2:04.92. And then Benson Davis placed third in the 1600 meter with a 4:37 even. But that will do it for this opening segment. Me and Liam are going to take a break, have some interviews in between here, and then we'll be back with you guys for the end of the coaches show. But you're listening to 91.7 WEEM. Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with the head coach of the varsity baseball team, Coach Vosburgh. Thank you so much for joining me.
You bet.
So getting things started here, you guys had a pretty busy week last week. You guys had your conference doubleheader against Shelbyville. You won both of those games 5-4 and then 6-4. Walk me through those games. Obviously, it was pretty tough the first game playing against Aiden Smith. Comeback win. What was kind of the feeling, you know, going up against a D1 level pitcher and pulling out both those games?
Yeah, when you face elite pitching like that, you prepare a little bit differently than you would for a different style of a matchup. We got the machine out. We got our special baseballs that kind of allow for high ride and high velo training. Got those out, and we started to time up the machine at a higher velo level. Just as a preparation, you always try to practice harder than the game experience is going to, you know, give you. And so we felt prepared going into it, and we knew that if we just played solid defense behind and did, you know, played the game the rest of our to our strengths, that we would have a good shot of pulling that out. We put good swings on Aiden Smith all game. You know, he only had 4 strikeouts against us in those 5 or 6 innings that he pitched that game. We forced him out in that 6th inning after we barreled a few balls. So, you know, he changed the style of pitching, you know, based on the results that he was seeing from our hitters. So we felt really good about just the approach that our guys had against him. We've faced, you know, high velo guys before, and we feel like the prep work that we put into training for high velo guys has paid off for us over time. We almost feel more comfortable to some degree, you know, knowing what you're going to get. The pitchers that you typically see our guys kind of struggle with are just really good pitchers who command multiple pitches on the inside outside part of the plate. You know, an Aiden Smith type of guy who has all the tools that's going to allow him to be successful at the next level and beyond, you know what he's going to go to in pressure moments, and that's his fastball, right? And so we feel like we know that it's coming, and so we feel like we're better prepared as hitters to attack when you have a high expectation of what's going to come your way. The guys that really mix and match their pitches really well are just good pitchers. They tend to see a little bit more high school success. So, you know, preparing against him was fairly straightforward compared to But just based on what we've done with other velo guys in the past, game two was a little bit different. Obviously, well, we had that walk off, obviously, and that was, you know, a nice moment, but we were able to score five runs in the last two innings, forced him out, and then took care of business against the guy they brought in after him. Did some nice things at the plate to create that win. And then we kind of carried that momentum into the game two at Shelbyville, where we scored six in the first two innings. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more offensive production from innings 3 to 7 to keep that game from being as close as it was there towards the end. I mean, ultimately, they had the tying run, the go-ahead run at the plate in the bottom of the seventh. But we had Jacob and Colin Axel Adams combined to get us out of there with a win and made some key pitches and key moments. The interesting thing about that game, and it's something that I can't remember ever happening before, was that we did not strike out a single one of the Shelbyville hitters in game two. So we made 21 outs in the field, which is very rare for a high school team. And it's a credit to Shelbyville for putting the ball in play, but it's also a credit to our guys for making plays behind our pitching. You know, Jacob Garner's a pitch to contact type of guy, does not get hit hard. And so, but we know that he's going to put the ball, people against him will put the ball in play. But typically you see a high school team, you know, strike out once or twice in a game at minimum. I honestly cannot remember a game in which a team went 21 outs without seeing a single strikeout. So kind of a unique thing with that game. So,
yeah. And then obviously that led into you guys dominating Lawrence North. Obviously weird kind of situation, had a bit of a 3 minute rain delay in between, just a random pop-up shower hit. But you guys ended up winning that game 11-1. You guys pretty much dominated across the board in that game. There were still some down moments. What was really your take on the difference from Shelbyville to Lawrence North?
Yeah, again, it was a little bit of a slower start for us. We had a couple of weird things happen to begin that game. We had a runner, you know, ball hit and play, got hit the runner. We would have scored a run on that. So we could have been up, you know, 2 or 3-0 in that first inning if we had just avoided that ball and play, which was a little bit unfortunate. Sometimes you can't control those types of things. But we came out with LN. There was kind of a back and forth all day as to whether or not that game would be played, you know, to some degree or where it would be played. You know, LN is blessed to have a turf field. And so at the very least, we felt that we would be able to play either there, the field would be good enough to host it here. And so when I had a chance to get out and assess the field, we made the decision to go ahead and play it here. And we feel like sometimes if you have a turf team come into your place and is used to playing on turf, going back to a natural field can sometimes be to your advantage. So I wanted to do everything we could to make sure that we played here at Bill Stout Field. So we made that happen and the field played really well. You know, we got ourselves going. B was a little bit wild to start the game, but once he really settled in, he went back to his dominant self. He made it through six innings, which for him is a great start. You know, he's kind of a high pitch count type of a guy. Doesn't get hit a lot when he's over the plate. He only got two hits over those six innings. So he pitched really, really well. Really proud of B for being able to contribute to the team in so many different ways. You know, being behind the plate, getting some good at bats here and there, and then being a force on the mound as well. So he's just a guy that we can do a lot with. And so, you know, we really value his presence behind the plate during conference games. And so then on the off conference games, the non-conference games, we can usually get his, he can benefit the team by jumping out there on the mound and doing his thing. So, but yeah, that was a great, good win. We made some adjustments offensively middle about that game, started to attack the fastball more and, you know, put up a good run total that ended that game.
Yeah, and then obviously this past week, Jordan Williamson had a pretty good week hitting-wise. Obviously last year was an above 400 kind of guy. Comes into this year, has struggled a little bit in some weeks, but this week really stepped it up. Now going into this week, you guys have the Madison County Tournament this Friday against LaPel. What's kind of the feeling from Jordan on how he performed last week and carrying it into this week?
Well, I think it was only a matter of time before the balls that Jordan was hitting were going to start falling. You know, he kind of had, I wouldn't even say he struggled. I would just say he kind of ran into some bad luck, you know, which is going to happen in baseball. There's, you know, you can miss hit a ball and it fall in for a base hit and it looks like a base hit in the scorebook, or you can rip a ball right at somebody and it looks like an out in the scorebook. And so I think Jordan was finding himself more on the ladder there for a couple of games where he was really hitting balls hard just right at people. And so, you know, Jordan's such a good hitter, and that's the reason he's been, and he's done it against the best competition. That's where I don't think a lot of people understand from the outside perspective just how special of a hitter he is. He's gone up against some of the best competition, you know, from the Cam Sullivans, the Parker Rhodes, the Aiden Smiths, the all these guys. And then he's done it against different types of pitching too. You know, he's done it in the three hole, which, you know, typically, you know, guys in that 3-4 hole are going to get pitched to differently only because they're in that 3-4 hole for a reason. And Jordan's been able to take everyone's best punch and give it right back. He's been able to carry a plus 400 batting average for two straight years now in our conference, which is really tough pitching. We play good out of conference competition, and he continues to get it done. So, you know, I don't think he's going to change anything about his approach. I think he's just going to continue to be the elite hitter that he is. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, it's a big week coming up with two conference games with Mount Vernon and then finishing out the week with County. And so we're going to roll our rotation back out there, kind of similar to how we've done up to this point. And, you know, trust that our defense and our hitting will carry us along the way too.
Yeah. And you mentioned obviously Mount Vernon coming up this week, another conference team, another, you know, heavily pitching, like good pitching team.
Yeah.
And you've gotten to that point against your conference opponents to where you're going to be going up against good pitching every time you go up against a conference opponent now. So what's the preparation look like differently from Shelbyville's Aiden Smith to Mount Vernon?
Well, and we're not going to ramp up the machine to, you know, we kind of get the equivalent of about 102 mile an hour with the pitching machine when we face elite pitching like that. You know, when we face the Cam Sullivans or the Parker Rhodes, anybody's going to be plus 90. We're going to try to push it to about 5 or 6 mile an hour more than what we're going to see. And then basically trust that we'll be able to recognize spin and to make adjustments in two strikes. I mean, if a guy that's throwing 90 plus at a high school level has also a command of a secondary wipeout pitch, he's going to be really tough to beat. Most, however, those guys are going to really rely on their fastballs. And so if we can at least hunt those pitches, we feel like we're good to go. The Bolts of the world, the Sittons of the world that we'll see here in the next couple of days are better just all around high school pitchers. So we need to be able to adjust to what we see and do damage with those adjusted with our adjustments. So we want to hunt fastballs, but we also need to be able to defend an off speed pitch because they're typically better at keeping those pitches in the zone. So, you know, both Bolt and Sitton that we'll see this week for Mount Vernon have good command of off speed. And so a practice today is going to look more like being able to recognize spin out of a coach's hand, adjust to it, fight it off, work to see a different pitch, and then be able to go the other way with anything off speed. We have to maintain a middle approach with these guys. If you try to start pulling off on guys that are, you know, off speed, that see success with their off speed, we will not see success. We probably won't strike out a lot, but we're going to roll over pitches. We're not going to do damage with what we do with balls that are put in play. So it's more about putting good swings on pitchers that know how to command the zone with multiple pitches. We've got to maintain that approach of middle away.
All right. Well, that will do it for this interview. Thank you so much, Coach Rosberg, and good luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, the rest of the Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online talk to feg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM. We welcome you here to today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside head coach of the Lady Arabian softball team, Coach Davis. How's it going?
We're doing all right.
All right. Well, let's get straight into it. This past Saturday, you guys participated in the Carmel Invite. You played two games. Firstly, Penn, a very tough team, 11-2, and then Brownsburg, an 8-5 team. Didn't come out of that one with any wins, but what are your takeaways from the Carmel Invite?
Well, I think we competed. Penn's ranked number 5, I think, in 4A, and got beat 3-0. We had opportunities. We didn't get the job done, you know. So, I thought we competed to play very well. Our pitching was strong. Our defense was strong, you know, and we played a very good game against a very good team.
Now, Plant, sorry to cut you off. If you go ahead.
Well, then you go Brownsburg. You know, Brownsburg's got a girls going to Ohio State and play, and we just couldn't stop. When she got on base, she'd take off on second or steal on us. And a very good ball club. Had a left-handed pitcher that threw very well that we haven't seen all year. We had opportunities again in that game, and we kind of shot ourselves in the foot. That's the biggest problem right now. You know, we're making mistakes that are beating us that we need to figure out how to stop.
Well, a lot of the teams here at Pendleton Heights across all sports, they play some very tough opponents. Now, I don't know how much you work with the scheduling, but what do you get from playing a tough opponent? Because you sure play a ton of them.
Well, you know, if you look at our eight losses, five of them have been teams that are ranked in the top 10 in their division, whether it's 2A, 3A, or 4A. And going into this week, we're going to have the same situation playing number two, HSE, Hamilton Southeastern, and number six, Noblesville. So, we like the challenge. You know, it gets us ready for tournament play, gets us ready for our conference. So the scheduling part, I prefer to have the strong schedule to make us stronger people.
Preferring that strong schedule at the end of the year, do you usually care about the record? You know, you're sub 500 right now. It's a tough spot.
Well, you always care about the record. You know, I mean, we're playing for wins. We're not playing to lose. It seems like right now that's what we are doing, playing not to lose, and as it's catching up with us. But for the most part, when we look at the wins and losses, but we're still, the Madison County was definitely disappointing where we're at or where we finished at. Something that we haven't done in the past. And then we go into the conference, we still got five games remaining in the conference. We went out, we're conference champs. So we're still in that goal. And then, the main goal is to be better playing at your best ball at the end of May, the tournament time.
Now let's take a look at that Brownsburg game. In that one, Cassie Hayes got her first start on the mound. Does that help build a player's confidence? I believe it's her first career start.
I mean, we're working, we're trying to still figure this out. You know, we're very young. I got a lot of players that haven't played at the varsity level. So we're still, every day looking and evaluating what's happening, who's playing well, who's putting the ball in play. We're looking at quality at bats right at the moment, and we got some kids that are struggling, surely they're going to step up eventually. We're moving people around, putting pieces down, trying to figure it out, trying to stop the mistakes and trying to get better.
Around what point do you usually have that solidified? Is it different through all parts of this? You've been coaching for a long time.
This is an unusual situation that I'm in the 15 years that I've been here, being so young. Only having really two seniors this year, which is the least amount of seniors I've ever had. And I got six juniors and only a couple of those juniors that have varsity experience actually being on the playing field. Very few innings last year. So, this is a very challenging year for us or for me, but it's been a fun year. The girls are great. They've worked their butts off since January. We are getting better. You can tell we're getting better. And, we just got to figure out how to get over that hump and good things are going to happen towards the end, I hope.
Now, you're exactly halfway through your season, including the first round of sectionals. You got 14 games in front of you. Are you when the team expected? Are you about where you thought you would be? Are you a little different? Where are you guys at midseason?
We're definitely not where we thought we'd be. We thought we'd be a little bit farther advanced than where we are. We thought we'd had a better record than what we have. Our 6-8 schedule or 6-8 record, we thought would be more flipped over the opposite way, 8-6, really probably 9-5 and really could have been 10-4 with the way we're looking at it. But, you go, like I said, you go back and look at the schedule, those five losses have come from top 10 teams. And, I don't really care what division you're playing in. It comes down to pitching and having a core group of girls with you. And, the losses that we've had in 2A have been to some very good teams. It would not surprise me if you don't see them in the 2A state championships.
Now, about midway through the season, has anything stuck out as particularly good or bad? Like, for example, you might think you're really good at base running this year. What's really stuck out to you that you didn't expect?
Well, we've had some great performances already this year. I'm a freshman, Allie Carlin, leading off. I moved her up to leadoff position. She was on hot. And when I first started her, she was on fire. And she's calmed down a little bit, but she's still very consistent, has very good at bats. You know, Grace Fisher's on base percentage is pretty high. You got Cassie Hayes and Aubrey Fox that are been very consistent. You know, I'd say Aubrey Fox is probably right now, as a sophomore, probably leading the team in hitting. And Kaylee Smith has been hitting the ball very well, got her first home run this week. And also has been playing very, very well. You know, we got some other players. Aaron Davis has been pretty solid down at the bottom, good at bats. So, you know, we've had some really good quality. We just have them all put it together at the same time. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get the pitching and the hitting and the fielding all to come in one and finish games.
One last question here for your coach. As a team, you know, you're sub 500. Some coaches might find it hard to motivate a team. Is that something that's in your priorities to do? Do the players do it themselves? Where's that at for the team right now?
I don't think it's a motivation factor. I think these girls are motivated. I think they're just as disappointed where we're at as much as I am. I think they work hard. They're going to continue to work hard. We're all going to continue to you know, grind and work hard. And then figure out, you know, what's going to be best. And I think the players are starting to understand their roles, which is a lot of it, too. You know, whether it's a pinch hitting role, a running role, or a pitching role, whatever it is, I think they're starting to understand that. And I think, you know, our schedule's not getting any easier, that's for sure. So this is, in my opinion, the second half of our season is a lot stronger than the first half. And we haven't had the real great first half, so it's going to be very interesting to see how they rise to the occasion, and they'll be motivated, that's for sure.
All right, well, that'll do it for this interview. Thanks for joining me, Coach. We'll see you next time.
All right, thanks, Sam.
All right, next up, more Coaches Show interviews. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by SMB Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road, 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Colin Axel Adams.
Now, Colin, you are a sophomore, right?
Yep.
You're a varsity baseball player. So you're a sophomore here. How long have you been playing baseball in total?
I've been playing baseball kind of always since I was born. I grew up with a bat in my hand since a real young age, and just been playing ever since.
Now, what originally grew you to, to play baseball? Of course, you mentioned growing up with a bat in your hands is quite the analogy. Did you play any other sports? Why'd you gravitate towards baseball?
Yeah, so from a young age, I also played soccer. And then in middle school, I started playing basketball, actually elementary school. So I played those all the way up through middle school. And then once I got through high school, I decided to step away from both soccer and basketball, just to focus on baseball, because I was better at that, and my goal is to go to college for baseball. So I just decided to step away from soccer and basketball just to really put all my time into baseball.
Now, last year, I believe you were one of the only freshmen on the varsity team. That is quite the accomplishment. You don't see that very often. Why do you think you made the varsity roster so early?
I'm going to put it towards my hard work. I feel like I really outworked everyone else. And I think that's just the biggest thing that you got to have. You got to have a good work ethic. Obviously, talent can only take you so far. So, you know, I might be talented, but my hard work is really what drove me there.
I think that's really taken an effect this season, because you've had a lot of recent success. Of course, in the outfield, as you've been as last season, you've seen a lot of success. The reason I asked you to do this interview, because you almost hit a cycle the other day. You've seen a lot of success at the plate. Do you attribute that to your hard work? What's been the recent thing that's been getting you going?
I do attribute that to my hard work. This offseason, I really put a lot of time into my hitting, as well as my outfield, obviously. But this year, almost every single day, I was in the cage during the off season working with like either an instructor or like there was even multiple times a week where I would just go out and hit with one of my friends. And I just, that consistency, just creating a swing that I like and that approach and just mentally being ready.
Is there a spot you want to be on the field? Of course, you play outfield now. You're only a sophomore. You got two more years, including two plus this year. Is there a specific spot in the diamond you want to be at? You play where you're told?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm happy with where I am. Obviously, wherever I'm going to be is where I want to make the biggest impact for the team. And obviously, me being a lefty kind of limits where I can be on the field. And I've been an outfielder for a lot of years now. And obviously, I like playing right. I can play anywhere in the outfield, but, you know, I just go where I'm told.
Now, this year, you're off to a 10-0 start, I believe, maybe even more than that. Looking the best the team has looked probably ever. What do you attribute that to? You got a lot of seniors this year, and you've got a lot of ranked wins. What's next, and why?
Yeah, so I attribute it to just our, like, we've all played together, and we all love playing together. We have a lot of chemistry, and, you know, we like playing together, and what's next? We're hoping to win that sectional. We came up short last year after beating a really good pitcher in the first game, and then came up short against Greenfield. So we're really hoping to, that's our end goal, and then obviously go beyond.
Now, you mentioned losing that tough sectional game as only a freshman. What image did that leave in your mind? Because that's not a happy day, of course. That's your last game for your seniors, and then you got a new batch of them this year, and they don't want to see that day anytime soon. What imprint did that leave to not have that happen again?
Yeah, just, you know, obviously no one wants to lose in that spot. And it almost makes you come back with an edge about, like, you wanting to win that extra game and to keep playing, and knowing that if you don't win that game, your season's over and you don't get a play for, like, the high school for a whole nother year. You kind of just have to sit with that, you know, you did enough to win that one game, but then a couple of days later you didn't do enough to win the next game to end up going on to the sectional championship.
You got a favorite senior?
I love all of them.
Yeah, any player on the team, too. You mentioned the chemistry. Is this the best chemistry you've seen? Of course, you don't have too many high school years to compare it to. And why do you think that helps you so much?
I do. Last year we were also really good. We had a lot of chemistry because a lot of the seniors, obviously the juniors last year, have been playing together for a long time. Like, they grew up playing together. I mean, obviously, me as a freshman, I hadn't played with them yet. So, you know, starting off, we weren't, like, I wasn't as connected, but I think this year, me being able to play, like, already have a year under my belt with them, I think that just, that adds a level to the, like, connectivity that we all have, because we've played together as a high school, not just in the travel that they've played together, but we've had success together last year, and I think that we can attribute a lot of these wins to just our connectivity and all that.
Who's the biggest locker room leader? I talk to a lot of juniors at the end of their season, and I say, you know, are you prepared to take next year as the senior and be the leader in the locker room if there's not a lot of seniors? For you guys, there's a ton of seniors. Maybe they're all leaders. I'm not sure. I don't know what that locker room looks like. Who is the real leader in that locker room?
Yeah, I think our seniors are all really good. One that stands out is Mason Saxon. He's really, even last year, he was a really good leader, but he just took it to another level this year, and he's a great leader in that clubhouse. But I mean, all of our seniors, we're all there. We all lead in our own ways.
Yeah. I mean, lucky for you, you are in the younger years of the varsity time. Are you prepared at this point? Of course, you've got big shoes to fill. Of course, this season you guys are hoping to do great things, and hopefully, you know, you can go super deep in the playoffs. Are you mentally there? Of course, you have a lot of time, but, like, are you ready to be a senior? Have you seen what it takes and how to lead a team?
I do. I think I was born with a lot of, like, leader attributes. So I think just me personally, I'm a great leader. And when it's my turn to be that guy, I'm ready to step up.
What's your favorite baseball memory? Could be high school. Could be anything before that. Anything come to mind?
Probably last year when we walked off the, I think it was Shelbyville, when we hit that walk-off at home, Mason Saxon hit a single. And I don't remember, like, all of that game, but I think it was that walk-off that we hit last year.
I don't know how correct this is, but I haven't looked at the stats in a while, but I think you're tied for second or first all-time in saves at Pendleton Heights High School. You're either tied with, like, six other people for first or second. I can't remember. Why? That's a little surprising for a sophomore to have that. Is there a reason why?
So, last game, I forget who it was, but I actually broke that record. So now I do have the record all time for saves. I don't know why. I mean, last year I came in a lot after Braden pitched, and I think I just picked up a couple of saves there. This year I've kind of like solidified myself as the quote unquote like closer of the team. So in a lot of these close games coming in, I've been that guy who's came into pitch to pick up the saves. So, I mean, I can't talk for other years about why the other guys don't have as many, but.
Is that nervous for you at all? Of course, I keep mentioning you're a younger guy on the team. You don't have a ton of RC experience. Is that nervous at all? You come into a situation, maybe you're down by a run or maybe you're up by one. You don't want to sell it for your team. That's a tough spot to be in as a closer.
No, I've gotten used to it. So last year, my very first opportunity pitching on the varsity level was down in Tennessee. So I came in with bases loaded. I think it was like the fifth or sixth inning. And first varsity appearance, came in with bases loaded, two outs. And I struck the kid out. I think it was on like three or four pitches to end that inning. And I think ever since that, it's just that showed me that I can compete at this level pitching-wise. And it's just giving me that confidence to come in and know that like my stuff is going to get the batter and just give me that confidence.
How much of the baseball team is like sink or swim? I mean, they threw you in the deep end right there and you can either sink and, you know, let up a nice hit and multiple run score, or you can swim and what you did and strike the guy out. How much of the varsity baseball level is really like that?
I think it's kind of both. You have to be able to know that, you know, if you do give up that hit, that you just got to be able to move on to that next play. And, you know, if you do end up giving up a couple runs, you can't automatically just go to that sink mindset. You have to be able to stay there and know that our offense is good enough to get us back to that floating mindset.
Well, that'll about wrap it up. Thanks for joining me, Colin. Of course, one more time, sophomore baseball player at the varsity level. Thanks for joining me. Hope you enjoyed the interview.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Only at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at ModernTreeSolutions.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with a senior on the track team, Keaton Jones. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
All right, so getting things started here. You guys just recently had your county tournament at the time of this interview, and you PR'd in both the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash, and you beat Colin Lewis from Anderson in the 100-meter. How does it really feel your senior year, first year running track, doing something like that?
Honestly, I mean, beating Colin Lewis and getting the time that I got, I mean, I really surprised myself. I mean, I put in a lot of work so far. Track practices have definitely been rough, but I mean, they've been pushing me. And so far, I mean, it's looking good.
Yeah, obviously both the boys team and the girls team ended up winning their county respectively. This was unfortunately the last Madison County tournament for the foreseeable future. So what's it like being able to compete in the last Madison County tournament for track as a senior?
I mean, it does suck that, I mean, we're not going to be able to continue doing these anymore, but especially it being the last one, I mean, what a way to go out, you know?
Yeah, and obviously, you guys have a couple other seniors on the teams, you know, Jake Burns, Gabe Martin, Elijah Wolf. What's it really like between the four of you seniors on the team? Like, what's that camaraderie like?
I mean, we all kind of mesh together really well while also having a bunch of different kind of personalities. I mean, Elijah Wolf, hard-headed, you know, he's going to be serious. He's going to push us. Jake Burns, it really sucks with his injuries because, like, he would have been such a big part of our team. But, I mean, he kind of glues us together, keeps us together. I mean, I'm still new as a senior, so people kind of look up to me, but I got to still kind of lead, you know?
Yeah, and with the success you've seen with this being your first year running track, do you think if you started running maybe your freshman or sophomore year, you would see some better, even better numbers this year?
Yeah, a lot of people have told me so far, and I mean, from freshman year now, that I need to do track, and like, I've always thought about it, but never like fully committed to it. And it's funny you say that. I mean, last practice, they were just like, man, dude, if you've been doing track a lot longer, I mean, your times would be even better. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and obviously, just recently, you officially committed to Butler University for football as you are a multi-sport athlete here at Pendleton Heights. What's kind of that feeling knowing that you're going to a really good program for football, but you're also running track? How does that really help you for the future?
I mean, the coaches see that, or the Butler coaches see that I'm doing track, and they see how much faster I'm getting, and I mean, they're excited for it. I think it's going to translate well to football. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you're one of the fastest kids in this school, broke the school's 40-yard dash time record. And now that you're getting even faster, you can put up even crazier numbers. What's it like being put up there with some of the names like Eli Pankel in the conversation as some of the best athletes here at Pendleton Heights?
Yeah, ever since watching Eli and all those kids, I mean, I've always wanted to be up there with them, either as fast as them, strong as them, just like them. And I mean, it's surreal, like, now actually being like as fast or faster than some of them. And I mean, it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah. And obviously you guys have had some meets underneath your belt and you've had to travel for some of these meets and you've had some home meets as well. What's it really like, you know, getting the team feel with this being your first year on the track team?
I mean, traveling, and some of the first few meets, it was a little weird, but, I mean, especially the county one, I mean, I'm starting to get the hang of it, you know, the whole like atmosphere of it, really starting to enjoy it.
Yeah. And obviously a big question for after some of these seniors leave is who's going to step up and be the leader. Who do you think after you is going to be taking that kind of lead role? Obviously there's some different people that are also seniors that are going to be having a different answer, but what's your answer for who's going to be taking that fastest runner on the team?
I've said this a lot. I mean, people are going to have to watch out for Joel Weaver as a freshman. I mean, insanely fast. And some of the events he does, like he does a bunch of events, the 400, 400 relay. And I mean, 40 time, he's almost up there with me. Like, and as a freshman, it's insane. And so he's going to have a bright future here.
Yeah, and then on the girls' side, a senior state champ, Ava Jarrell. What's it like being able to compete on a team with a state champion in Ava Jarrell and just seeing her go through her routine during practice?
Yeah, I will say, like, competing-wise, we don't really do, like, the same thing. But when we're practicing and we're watching the long distance go, like, I've never seen anything like it or anyone run like her. Like, it just constant, just nonstop running fast, just around the track, around the school. I could never.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever run. Yeah, run
it's,
like
it's insane.
Run the time she does because what she's got like a sub 5 minute mile.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. And then you know, on the field side of things, you have Gabe Martin, big farmer Gabe.
Yep.
Doing shot put. What have you really seen out of him? And you know, being a lineman for you during football season, now seeing him as a thrower, what's it really like seeing a different side of him outside of football?
I mean, I can obviously tell during football, you know, him pancaking people and shoving people to the ground. It obviously helps during shot put because he's pushing that thing. He's getting out there.
Yeah, and county, big success. Seems like some of the pictures I saw on different Instagrams, yours included, you guys looked like you were really enjoying everything. What was it like, you know, knowing the moment that you guys had officially won the last Madison County tournament?
Yeah, near the end of the meet, we kind of like, after we won like a few very important races, I think we all kind of knew that I think we were going to win. And hearing them call other names and us hearing that our name wasn't called until the last one, I mean, we all started losing it. We all started losing our minds because we knew it was going to be us.
Yeah, and obviously, you really haven't been able to compete in a Madison County tournament like that before. Obviously, you used to play basketball mm-hmm. early in your underclassmen ages here at Pendleton Heights, but now as a senior getting to compete in an actual Madison County tournament setting, what was that like for the first time?
I mean, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome going up against some of our county teams like Anderson, LaPel, Frankton. I mean, never been able to go up against some of those teams a lot in the other sports I've played, but it was awesome finally getting able to go up against all of them.
Yeah, and, you know, getting to go up against some of the best athletes as well. You know, we mentioned Colin Lewis, mm-hmm. but obviously other schools have some great athletes too. When you guys went over to Delta, you had some great athletes over there as well. So what's it like getting to see a different side of athletics with track and seeing some of these great athletes around the state of Indiana?
It's kind of funny. I know there's like a term when people say there's like levels to this. I've kind of figured that out with track. I mean, there's levels. There are some kids that have been doing this for a long time that are very talented, perfect form, perfect starts. I mean, I do believe I can get to that point soon. But man, it's great to watch some of those guys.
Yeah, track, I've never actually watched a track meet. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen some of the highlights. Obviously, the short distance is where more people find entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's closer. It's where you see the speedy guys. But, you know, with some of the other events like pole vault, you want to be smaller, and that's where Elijah Wolf comes mm-hmm. in. What do you really see that he brings to this team? You mentioned being hard-headed and kind of that, you know, keeping you focused in practice. What do you really see out of him on competition day?
I mean, he's the same as practice. I mean, he doesn't get distracted. He's focused on what he's doing. Doesn't let anyone else distract him. I mean, he's locked in. And people like that, we need that.
Yeah, I think every team does. But that will do it. We are unfortunately out of time. But thank you so much, Keaton, and good luck for the rest of your senior season.
Yep, thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, the rest of the Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for the 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone number 765-221-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic. Located at 1 Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at cowanchiropractic.com.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back here to the ASN Coaches Show. Once again, alongside Liam Davis, my name is Michael Hooker. This is your closing segment, Liam. We got a lot to talk about for this upcoming week. Baseball, we're going to get started with them. They have their conference matchups against Mount Vernon. And then, obviously, the county championship against LaPel on Friday the 2nd. So, Liam, that'll be at home. Baseball, a lot on their plate this week.
Yeah, especially the two games against Mount Vernon. You know, that's always a big game. Big two games for Pendleton Knights. They actually knocked out Mount Vernon last year in the sectional, and they're looking to get another two wins on Tuesday and Wednesday and the county championship for back-to-back years, both against LaPel.
Yeah, Pendleton Heights sitting at 10-0 on a 10-game win streak, obviously. They're having a pretty historic season this year. I'm excited to, you know, watch it, be a part of it, broadcast the games. It's pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, and then softball. They have Frankton this week on the 28th, Kokomo on the 29th, Noblesville on May 1st, and Hamilton Southeastern on May 2nd. Very busy week for the softball team. Their only home game is against Kokomo, which is on April 29th.
Yeah, you know, softball, they've had a bit of a down year. They're 6-8 going into this week, but I feel like they could have a pretty good bounce back week. They obviously lost to Frankton already this year in the county tournament, 2-1. I think they could bounce back, beat Frankton tonight, then take on, you know, Kokomo tomorrow night, beat them, and I think beat HSC on Friday. But also another big news, prom is this week.
Yeah, very, very big week for the school.
Yeah, you know, since I'm a senior, I get to go. Mm. Yeah, you don't, because you're a sophomore.
I'm a sophomore.
But your brother gets to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is a big week. Track and field has some meets coming up. So does boys golf and girls tennis. Pretty much Arabian Athletics this week. You're going to be in full swing once again. Pretty much in full swing. We're in the middle of the season right now. But I know Pendleton Heights baseball team, they're getting up there in the rankings. Last week they were 14th. The rankings
have not dropped yet.
Haven't dropped yet at the time of this, being recorded. But I believe Pendleton Heights should be top 10 now.
Yeah. I mean, the way that they've been playing this year and the people that they're
facing up against
and faced. I mean, they're undefeated in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. They're 6-0, and they're the number one team. And Greenfield Central's right behind them at 5-1.
Yeah, so this is a pretty exciting year. But that will do it for me and Liam Davis. Thank you to all those who tuned in. Thank you to our sponsors for sponsoring the station and making things like this possible. But we hope you all enjoyed this presentation of the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.